In case this
man.
turns into an outtake, Colt and I were discussing whether or not I'm vegetarian or pescatarian. Closer to pescatarian, but Thursday I'm going to eat a whole bunch of cow. I'm sorry, cows. I'm so sorry.
They're okay. I mean, they're not. They're dead, but
They're dead, I
they're
know.
dead
Fuck.
in
Yeast.
like horrific ways.
Yeah, it's bad.
There's a, I can't remember the name of the documentary. It's actually one of the best cases for vegetarianism I've seen. I think it says the kind of person I am, where it's not like from the side of like killing animals is wrong. Like the environmental part of it is something that I take more to heart, I think a little bit.
That's right. I forgot you don't like animals.
Did you hear the whole Billie Eilish thing? She like said like a Twitter post or like an interview or something. You cannot say you love animals and eat me.
Billy.
Here's the thing. I kind of agree with her.
I love animals, but
And
you
you
know,
eat meat and you eat the
and
carcasses of animals.
I do. Well, they're dead. What, die for nothing?
The what we've developed our factory farming system into is like insane. It's the same with like ocean stuff too. Like we It was a different document. I mean, this is the thing. Just don't watch documentaries and you can eat whatever you want and not feel bad about it. Essentially, welcome everybody to the podcast. Everything you eat is wrong and
This
you
is
are a
going to be
bad
a
person.
deep episode.
Oh, what's that? You want to eat impossible meat? Do you know what happens when they? No, it's kidding.
Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights.
Oh man. So welcome.
Well,
yeah.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I even now I'm racking my brain thinking, what am I going to do for the episode description for this episode? I'm also trying to think of what to do for the Pink Floyd, but that's another
Yes,
kettle of fish.
that which is already out. I hope everybody enjoyed the Pink Floyd
Of course,
episode.
it is out. Why
But
would
I
it
am
not?
Rob.
I am Colton.
There we go. And today we're on episode 82. I think we said this is our Shady 80s. So
It
today
is the
is
Shady 80s.
we're gonna do that Slim Shady dude for episode
It's
82.
the Slim Shady 80s,
Yeah, that's right.
as we would likely describe it. Is my microphone working? It is.
I
Okay.
was going to ask you, how do I sound? Because I had to do some recording at home, so I had to kind of mess with the knobs here. Do I
Buddy,
sound all right?
you sound great. I'm going to let's see here. What book do I want to use for this?
This is Colton definitely bragging.
No, I'm just trying to. I'm looking for thick books so that I can get my mic
Is your
closer to my
desk
mouth.
wobbling a little bit? So you're just going to shove one of those
I
books
just don't want
underneath?
to hunch over when I'm talking to my mic. I'm trying to save my lower back.
It's gone, buddy. So today, everybody, we are going to be discussing from Eminem's year 2000 mega hit album, the Marshall Mathers EP. We're going to be discussing Stan.
I don't want to be this guy, the LP. Marshall Mathers LP.
What did I
Hot
say?
take, it should have been an EP. Nah, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I said ep. Okay.
You said, but it doesn't matter. You saying 2000 kind of blew my mind a little bit because in listening to this, I didn't even consider the fact that this is a 26-year-old song. That's insane.
I know. And we had been alive for a little while too. So that makes it even more heartbreaking.
That is, man. Yeah, we're going to talk about, and that will be in our second segment.
Yes.
We have a very cool new song to talk about in our first segment, though. But before we do any of that, what's doing, man? What's been
I'm
up?
doing okay. It's been a oh, you want to know what's been up? I'll
No,
tell you what's been up.
you know what? I'm sorry I asked. I just missed your face. You got a nice shirt on. I like your shirt. You're looking good. You're looking fit.
Thanks. Well, you know, for some reason, when I roll up my sleeves, I think it makes my biceps look a little bit more.
You got forearms, man. You're
I got.
working it. I'm back into my row class, my rowing class every Tuesday.
And
So
you know what?
I'm,
You look good.
I mean, I've done one class, but I appreciate, you know what you did just then? You made my day. I appreciate
Good.
you.
Good,
That's
man.
good. I haven't said anything about the Laker hat on your head, and I don't want to. So we're good. We're, no.
You know what? It was to be expected. They fought hard in game four. That's all I'll do. That's all I'll do, everybody.
Just a sprinkling of sports talk.
But I think the Dodgers are doing really, yeah, 7-1 right now.
Roki, man. Balanda Roki, everyone. We're in
you
it.
Know what? He's really turned it around, huh?
Well, if you can't do well against the Angels, literally you would have to go into triple.
Yeah,
Like, not even
stop.
Like that's straight to double A with you if that's not going on.
Not out of the question.
I needed to tell you, well, two things. I'm going to number my thoughts very carefully here. Two things. One thing.
You got some remainders from a few episodes.
You know what? I realized that. Yeah. Are you like me where since our discussion last, our last episode, which is definitely up by this time, of course, we discussed in our first segment that insane list.
Yes, we did.
Are you like me where every day now, I'm not even trying to actively think about this, but every day I think of another songwriter. I'm like, oh, they could put them on the list.
I'll tell you this much. Isaac Brock all of a sudden popped into my head.
It is. I mean, we definitely don't have to keep kind of like redoing this, but it is crazy. Yes, the one that I was thinking of is John Batiste. Like, what are we doing? Like, John Batiste is like crazy good. But anywho, it is. And I think it is kind of apropos because we're talking about one guy that we already brought up today or last episode as a maybe addition to that, Eminem. Mm-hmm. Although I think if they had put him on, I think I would have been annoyed. So
I kind of would have pushed back too. The whole part of that, everybody, was just because of Jay-Z. It felt like Eminem should have a spot as well.
Yeah, because he murdered him on his own shit, as Nas would say.
As Nas would say.
Yeah, and also the fact that Ether happened. Yeah, the fact that Ether happened and they still put Jay-Z on the list instead of Nas is an insane statement.
If I'm not mistaken, doesn't Nas drop a Stan the way that we use it now?
He might, yeah. I mean, the funniest part of that, if anyone hasn't heard of Ether, which we should just do, we should just do a whole episode on Ether.
Well, no more Stan. We're talking about Ether today.
But if you're a certain age, which I think based on our age demographic, some of you might be,
they're all of a certain age.
They not like us. Well, there's like a weird set of like 20-year-olds that listen to this, which hello, 20-year-olds.
Hey, this podcast is fire.
Is that
an accurate? I don't know.
But it, like listening to like They Not Like Us or any of the things between Drake and Kendrick, like if you hear what those kinds of raps used to be like when Eminem just decided what to like destroy all of like the Murder Inc. people, like or any of that, like John Gotti or those, or when Nas just destroyed Jay-Z with Ether, which. Yeah. I think every day I'm like, you know what? The self-confidence I have, like Jay-Z wakes up every day and continues to do what he does, which is put out subpar Jay-Z records now. But
this is interesting. I mean, maybe the records, but particular songs, I think he totally fucking hits.
I'm fine with Jay-Z. I don't have like
it's sounding like you're not.
I find him to be overrated. I do. I
really think you and Solange like hang out.
I love Solange. No, she is a real one. Like,
in the elevator where she like fucks him up?
Yeah, the Met Gala. This isn't what I wanted to say.
Oh, God, also happened recently. Fuck the Met Gala.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm sorry.
It's all bad. But
stepping down from my soapbox, go ahead.
If you like the records that he's put out, like obviously, like Reasonable Doubt, right? Mm-hmm. Blueprint, it's all well and good. I found his like stuff with Kanye to be annoying. I just don't think I think he's lost a significant step, and I find him overblown, and I've never found him to be like lyrically good, but like never compelling. You know what I mean? Like but anywho, I think this is apropos because this is kind of our first hip hop like rap episode that we're doing.
You
together.
And I together. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which honestly thinking about it now, I would have chosen a different artist to do that. But this is weird. I don't know how else to say this. I don't consider Eminem to be rap and I don't know how to like, is that weird?
Did you see on Wikipedia what this song is classified as?
No. What is it?
It's okay. Hold on.
By the way, everybody, I know that he is a rapper.
This is absolutely hip hop.
And I'll go one step further. I think he's a very good rapper at one time in his life.
Yeah. Yeah, the genre listing on here is horrorcore. For this song. That's not accurate. For this song, no. Maybe for some of Eminem's stuff.
Maybe for a Kim or...
Yeah, which I think Kim is such a good song.
I don't.
I know it is. It's a... What's the word I'm looking for? It's an aggressive song. But
I like that. We could touch on a lot of this in the second segment, but I do. I'll just say, maybe you had a similar experience that I did, which is this was listening to Stan multiple times, which I don't know when last time you've listened to Stan actively. It's been quite a while for me. Like, I don't just like sit around going, you know what? I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah, I don't really throw on Eminem.
And yet I know this song like verbatim.
Forward
I know
and backwards.
Every lyric. Yeah. And I've been annoying my wife to no end rapping about that. And she's never heard it before. She doesn't know anything about this song. And she's like, what are you doing?
How has she not heard some of the songs we've talked about?
I think that's kind of what I wanted to ask you. Like, we just talked about Kim. There's like 97 Bonnie and Clyde. There's like the early Eminem of it all that when I look back on it now with like 38-year-old eyes, I'm like, what happened? Like, it's kind of.
I'm actually proud of him. I think he kind of grew up.
Well, and I think two things about it, right? I think there is like an artistic bravery at work with Eminem that as like a like pro art all the time. I'm like, you know what? There is nothing about those early records that were an easy sell. Like, Stan is not an easy sell. That is not like a desperate for money.
Yeah, I was going to bring this up actually in the second segment, but I'll bring it up now.
Oh, yeah.
I actually admire how much Eminem does just go like, I'm going for it. He has like, I've never really questioned whether or not he has integrity. He absolutely is himself and will go on and out. Well, in the early days, especially.
Yeah.
You know, but that part I really do admire. He is fearless and is trying to create his own path.
And this is, I'll return in kind. I was going to save something for the second segment, but I'll say it now.
There we go.
All of that said, I don't know how anyone under the age of 18 can appreciate Eminem.
I don't think
wait, let me flip it around. I don't have anyone over the age. I said that wrong. I don't have anyone over the age of, I think he was made for teenage boys. Does that make sense? Like when Marshall Mathers LP came out, you and I were like
junior 11 high.
Or 12. Yeah. I was in sixth grade.
Yeah.
That is the age, like targeted age group for the Marshall Mathers LP.
Is terrible.
But I don't know how anyone over the age of 18 could listen to that record and go,
I hang out with, I like saying this, it makes me feel good. I hang out with an older group of friends regularly, and none of them like Eminem.
No, it is
because they were at an age.
And so I do try to check myself when I'm annoyed by artists today, but I see like younger kids that are into them. I'm like, you know what? Everyone's got their own Eminem, and thank God, because, and I am thankful. Like, and I thought that when Tyler the Creator came out, I was like, good. The cycle continues.
Maybe I just never grew up. I like Tyler.
I did too. Well, I liked his earlier stuff. I liked like Goblin. I liked since he's gone on, I've actually liked him less and less.
Back. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think it is, maybe it is like it's the horror. Maybe I'm a horrorcore guy.
The horrorcore. Yeah.
That's like, I'm like really into that.
Speaking of horrorcore.
Yeah.
Because I think we got plenty more. We have plenty more fuel to get in.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of horrorcore,
yeah.
Modest Mouse. This song.
Say the song first so we know what we're doing.
Third Side of the Moon, which how fitting. We just did Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah. And third side, third planet, third.
How do I say this kindly? I hate you, Isaac Rock. I hate you. My band just released an album yesterday that is about, you know, survivor's guilt. It's about people we've lost. And in one fell swoop, here comes Isaac Brock to go like, this is how you write a song about something like this. Oh my God. His lyrics are, he's such a good lyricist.
It's like an Isaac Brock special where like, if you have not heard our Modest Mouse episode we did, everybody, I'm very proud of it. I think it's a really good episode.
I'm on the same page.
And it can be difficult to describe him as a songwriter, like what he does, because he seems to break so many rules
That's something I like. Yeah.
Yeah. And like so overly obvious sometimes with his metaphors and like so, and yet so unique. Like no one writes like he does. No one sings like he does. And no one plays guitar really like he does. Like in the way that is nothing ever comes across as overly skilled. Like everything is very basic. And yet it is so artful.
It's like self-aware.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes there are a lot of artists who try to push beyond their own limits. And that's okay, too. But I just admire that listening to the song right when it started. I was like, oh, it's nice to see some things never change. And not to say that he hasn't evolved or anything like that, but it's just, it's still within the Modest Mouse, Isaac Brock continuum.
It feels like, and it's weird to name check this album now as like an old album, but it does feel more like We Were Dead. Like it feels like it could have worked on that record, because something that I have felt a little bit let down by was like, I think the last two Modest Mouse records.
Sure.
That like Strangers to Ourselves and The Golden Casket. Like I've heard them both, and something that I've like, they're like, I just don't know what it is. They feel so locked into that like dance, like upstroke on the guitar, like like, and they do that very well. And they kind of discovered that, I think, on Good News for People But Bad News. And they've just kind of like evolved, like it's evolved into their sound slowly and slowly. Even the very, I think the first like Picking Dragon's Pockets. Have you heard that one off the new one?
Yeah.
It's more like that. It feels like, and I heard that one first and I was like, well, it's a very good version of that. And then hearing this song, it's, I wouldn't call it growth, and I'm not expecting growth anymore from Modest Mouse, but it is, it's just refreshing to see, like, it's just intention. Like, that's often all I want out of songwriting. Yeah. I want intent. I want, like, there to be real choices made. And the lyrics are, like, I had them up because the refrain that he ends each verse with, right, where he starts with, I still can't remember if your eyes were green or brown or blonde. And it's like such a smart thing he does where it's, I mean, you know, it's all, I think we both know, it's like the, like, losing someone and like your memory playing tricks on you. And it's like the kind of ineffability of like loss and memory and all these things. Oh, yeah, when he goes to, your eyes were bleen or glue.
Yeah.
Or red. It's so good.
it's that is such a Brockism, an Isaac Brockism right there, to where it's just like, that's, it should be stupid, but it plays such a great role in misremembering time and like the impact of time on your ability to even say words correctly.
And that's the thing, right? It like guitar lines, and like whenever he's doing his like little like lead to the melody of a song or or any of that, it's the same thing. Like nothing he does, like I can play every Modest Mouse song on guitar. That's as close as I can say to, they are such an accessible band to learn, and yet it is always like just the master class of how to make something more than the sum of its parts. Like, I don't know how else to say it. It's so good.
Yeah. I was just incredibly impressed by this song. The chorus is the worst part, I would say, because, you know, and you know, like it feels like each time it comes in, there's like a little bit more of like, let's get a string section. Or let's find a way to kind of build that up, which is cool. But really what nails this song down for me is just the way he writes lyrics. Because you're absolutely right with, you know, the motif of, I can't remember if your eyes were blue or green or red, or the I ain't so good at listening.
Yeah.
You know, but he finds a way to actually pull in real life events within it, which gives it, you know, to where it's like, what is Isaac Brock feeling? Which is something that I still admire in songs, and I'll talk about it later. I like when it's coming from a particular person. I like to relate to songs. That's fine. But this song, while it's relatable, it's also, it's kind of Isaac Brock saying, you know, like, this thing is bothering me, you know, with the loss of the drummer.
Yeah, Jeremiah Green.
Thank you.
I know this one, right, is, I can't think of the guy's name off the top of my head, but a guy he used to play in bands with.
Yeah. Jay something. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Sam Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which when they talk about found you frozen in the car, that's what happened with him. But that's the cool. I love songs that are that personal. I was talking to somebody recently who didn't like sad songs. I was like, I fucking love sad songs.
And it's, but it's also the way that they deal with tragedy, right? And it's weirdly apropos, I think, to our discussion of Stan that I want to have with you after, like how they use tragedy and how they use like death, loss, grief, those things. But like even like the line you just mentioned, like a few days later, they found you frozen in your car for the last time you were seen leaving the YMCA from the showers. What he does to showers to make it rhyme with car, it's such, only Isaac Rock can do that. And it is two things, right? It is like the way that you can flip a word to make it match, but also like it is adding emphasis and force to the image of that. And like, it's almost like getting choked up. Like it's a, man, I actually, one thing I would disagree with is I love the choruses for this, because I don't think this song, I think the song is constructed to like choruses would take away from the verse.
Sure.
And I think like I see evolution, especially at the end where it like I said before, they can break a lot of rules, and the things we both hate of like the da-da-da-da-da and the guitar doing it, but it's such a Modest Mouse thing. Like that lead is like ripped from Modest Mouse, like every song.
I do wonder which came first, the da-da-da-da-das or the lead guitar playing that same melody. But none of this is, when I say that it's the weakest part of the song, I'm not saying I dislike it.
No, but...
But it's, I've said it a million times. I think we both have said it. It's kind of a reflective moment. It's taking in what just was said.
Well, and you're not wrong either. Like, it is.
Thank you.
Like, you're not wrong. I'm right. I don't know. I don't have that.
There we go. It's not that you're wrong. It's that I'm right. That seems like a Brockism.
That's such a Modest Mouse. This, the name of this album, actually, I'm like, I don't see, because it's, it is such a formula of like some kind of like polar opposite play on words. What this one's like, what, an eraser and a maze?
Yeah.
It's the only one where I'm like, huh.
We'll find out. We will find out.
And I am excited for that.
Me too. I had never heard the song. What was it?
Another single?
Yeah, it's another one of the singles. Jeez. Oh, the look how far we could have come, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Brockism. That's so perfect. And listening to this song, you know, we're
stupid dumb.
Yeah. It's just damn, dude.
Not my my least favorite of the three that I've heard so far, but it is 2 minutes long. And it is like,
it's really brief, but it's just so nice because we've talked about how many different artists who lose it. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like Isaac Brock and company are just incapable of losing it.
And they're one of those bands now where at this point it is really Isaac Brock. Like there's not a lot else keeping that band together as Modest Mouse. Because it's not, I mean, obviously like Jeremiah Green has passed away, like people have left and those things, but I like the idea that we've talked about bands where when musicians change, like especially like rhythm sections, especially, that seems to flip the DNA of the band. And I think Isaac Brock is sort of like the black hole in a good way that sucks everyone towards him, like, or his, maybe not black hole, like his gravitational pull makes everybody play like they're in a Modest Mouse band. Like if you and I were in Modest Mouse, we would just start playing like a Modest Mouse guy.
Yeah, easy.
That is.
So basically New York fucking times. Isaac Brock.
That's going to be, I feel like every episode I'm going to be like, oh yeah, and blank.
That's right. So that was our something new music segment.
That's a good, I like that, something new. Maybe that's the, what we.
You do realize I say that every single time. You respond to it as if I've never said it. Every time.
Can you do me a favor in the edit for this? Can you put in every time that you've said it? For no. I believe you, but let's just
no,
say.
No, I will not be putting that in the edit. I think this first segment has gone long enough that I'm already dreading editing it.
You know. All right. So we're going to take a break.
Yes.
I had like three more anecdotes, but I'm going to save them.
Okay. You're only allowed three more.
Okay. Oh, man.
I'm counting.
All right, everybody. Enjoy the Blamley.
Last word.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Baseball and Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Baseball on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseblown on social media and discord.gg/baseblown for our Discord. Baseblown Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
Welcome to the Siren Songbook, a podcast where we discuss female artists, their music, their history, and the impact they've made on the music industry. Join us each month as we pick a new inspirational artist and celebrate exactly what it is that makes them so magical.
You can listen to new episodes of The Siren Songbook on Spotify every last Wednesday of the month. The Siren Songbook, a Baseball Entertainment podcast.
Salmon be good.
Oh, yeah. Salmon. Catfish. Catfish is
my... Catfish.
I'm a catfish guy. That it, on seriously, last meal, catfish. Give me Cajun catfish. I'm good.
This is know your food. I'm Rob.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're back.
And we're going to talk about what we're going to eat for dinner tonight. Welcome back, everyone. Yes. And usually I will open, or whoever chose the song will open, by discussing why they chose that song. And I should now tell us why I chose Stan. I kind of forgot.
You kind of gave us a hint at it two episodes ago. You said, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's so fair.
Embellish.
Why don't you know? What do you not know? Who are you? What is going on? I here's the thing, is that Eminem is one of those artists that I can safely say has absolutely no artistic influence on me, and yet is an influence. Like, and I think it is
okay. Like, I see what you mean.
Like, popular music in the 2000s felt like, and like how I associate with starting to like different kinds of music. And getting into transgression too, right? There's a transgressive element to Eminem that, like, I liken it to when I was younger and like a Marilyn Manson video would come on MTV and I would instantly feel like I should turn the channel, because it wasn't something that I was explicitly told to not turn off, but it just felt like something that felt not good for me to watch.
Yeah.
Like dark, like satanic. Like, I was always kind of self-policing myself with that stuff, where I was like, oh, I don't want to get in trouble. And yet, and this is the thing that I think every generation has a version of, but there is something interesting about it, that transgression, that like in your brain you're developing, right? And Eminem was like the cover that in gasoline and light a match. Like, it was so intense.
I completely agree, because I think my first taste of that was actually the music video for Sober. From Tool. I remember seeing that when I was a kid, and it was like, I shouldn't like this, but it's so cool. It's pushing an envelope that I've never, like, I didn't even realize that I was engulfed in an envelope.
Yeah.
And so Eminem was definitely that moment. And it was truly a zeitgeist, right? This was a huge moment for all. We were the perfect age. Eminem hitting the scene.
Most definitely. And it was...
Speaking of most definitely, way better rapper.
Let's not... I mean, Eminem's already given us his list, right? Of top five.
Yes, he has. And he's on it.
Yeah, which I love that he's on it. Andre from Outkast? No, I can't remember his top five. But I think it is also, like, this was the MTV generation. And he was... one of the few, if not the only, that emerged as like a counterpoint to what at the time was the popular music that MTV was. Like, there were rock acts that were like actual counterculture, right? Eminem was not countercultural. I would say, like we've said on this podcast before, he's not politically radical in any way. He's actually vanilla. pun intended. Like, his biggest political turns in his music is to defend himself from criticism, which is fine. But
freedom of speech.
But for like him to be like NSYNC, more like instinct. like dumb. But I remember, like, as a kid, and this is why I said before, he is like tailor made for teenage boys, because I was like, my sisters were listening to NSYNC and I felt nothing about NSYNC. But when he was like talking about NSYNC, I was like, yeah, like, I don't want to be that. Like, I don't want to be like a part of this like other frame of things. So it did offer like a, like, it almost gave me a pull to position myself against, you know what I mean? Like, culturally. And
I get you.
I don't know if that's good or bad looking back on it now, but I do know that that is, I didn't come from a place where there was a lot of like radical aesthetical art nearby that I could grasp to. Like, I'm just like straight from the suburbs, right? Like, about as like basic as it gets. And so,
vanilla.
Yeah, I'm very vanilla. And still, some might say maybe French vanilla. I don't know. Is there another kind of vanilla?
I'll tell you this much. Vanilla is delicious.
It's delicious. Of course, yeah. It adds stuff to it. But so Eminem is, he's always going to mean something to me for that. And literally this record, like Marshall, like, I don't F with any of his other records. And even though I think most people would say the Eminem Show is his best record.
I love some tracks off. Oh, well, actually, you know what? I like that album. I like that album. I like this album. I like Slim Shady LP.
And I think there's like arguments to be made with all that, but this record is the one that I'm always going to have an affinity for. Even though, do I think it's like a great record looking back? It's not an easy answer for it. You know what I mean?
I absolutely get you. Oddly enough, I was a fan of boy bands. I still am. Fuck all of you.
And I didn't not like NSYNC or Backstreet Boys songs, right? So there's a little dishonesty in me going, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's just, for as much as Eminem was going after, you know, what was considered, I mean, what was the popular stuff, I'm still like, you were on TRL all the time. So he was definitely trying, how do I phrase this? I think he said it best. You can be hypocritical in music. And he was really good at being hypocritical.
When I said before that, like, with even like, I'm backpedaling and it's been mere minutes since I've said it. But when I was like, I don't consider him to be a rap. Like, it's not even just the white guy of it all. It is. He existed in a space that there's like a level of popularity that you hit where, to me, feels less based in like hip hop in a lot of ways as it is like, I don't know. It's
sellable,
kind of, right? Like it is rap. It is hip hop. And yet it is a very distinct form of it. Right. And it is. And I think part of it too, is that his lyrical content, especially like the three records we're talking about, is like so different. And here's something to Eminem's credit that I'll always think, is that he was able to, I don't think from when he first started, there are so many missteps that white rappers can make in rap, right? And like, like affectation and all those things. And I think in a lot of ways, and I don't know enough about early Eminem to know what growing pains he went through, but I think it would be hard to levy like a blackface kind of a criticism at him. I think he's always
kind of
felt
the
very
eldest thing.
Yeah, he's always felt like very respectful. I don't know, like from a distance, it seemed to me that he's been, and part of that I think is he also seems to have respect of a lot of the hip hop community. And I think it's also just because he's very good, but
he is, I'll say it, he's an excellent lyricist.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes the point of the song may not grasp me. I think he's really good at there's a reason that horrorcore comes into a tour. It's like, you're really good at painting a gory picture and having fun with stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's where I think like Slim Shady LP, that's what I really remember. It really felt like the Marshall Mathers LP was like, okay, we're actually getting more of the human side of him. You know, there's still kind of the silliness, but there is kind of coming into this, like, okay, now we're actually getting to see who this person is. He has his album that got his foot in the door, but this is him standing out in a room.
And there are some, like, I was actually thinking too, what is my favorite, like, Because I think we're not doing this record, right?
I was afraid of this question.
Yeah. What is, if I was going to, would I even have like a foundation of what my like go-to would be? And I don't really know. I mean, I think the way I am is quite good.
It's a great song. But then again, the hook of the song is kind of a rock hymn reference, which I think gives him credibility to where it's like he's, even though I never heard him actually say that, I just know that that's from a rock hymn song.
Yeah.
You know, but so, I mean, to with what you were saying before, like the hip hop community respected him, I think it's because he also very much so respected the hip hop community. He was versed in this.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, in looking back at it now, I'm like, oh man, Amityville.
Mentally ill from Amityville.
Get you to kill your family still. Well, so yeah, all of this to say, Stan stands out to me also because it's such a weird song. And what I mean by that is for this song to be, I don't think it was the second, I can, now I'm trying to remember if it was like,
I think
the
it was
second
a
or third,
third. I think it was a third single. I think we have Real Slim Shady.
Right.
And then we have The Way I Am, which kind of gives a good tease into what Stan's going to be about.
Right, right.
You know, and we're both old enough to say we heard this song before it was a single.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I had already heard this song and was pretty impressed by the story of it all.
It's
not like it was his first venture into telling a story in a song, but this one felt more like, I guess it kind of is. It felt like all the other songs, it's like, yeah, it tells a story. There's a theme, I should say, where this one is like, this is a tale of Stan.
I see what you mean, especially on this record, right, where it is like shit talking central. It is like so many of these songs are just vehicles for how can I get the like best kind of like punchlines mixed in with the most like taboo things I can get to.
Exactly.
And this is
trying to bring down my guy Will Smith. Nice try, Eminem.
Oh Lord. But so, and I think for all those reasons, it's just one of those songs that I think about every now and then and go, wow. Like what a weird, like when I say what a weird song, like I'm always struck sometimes by just like the randomness of art, like this, something just happens. And also I think it's a song that allows me to think through what I think of him as a lyricist and as an artist, because like, just, if we were just going to do like, I don't know, like, well, the, like I'm Slim Shady or the Real Slim Shady, Please Stand Up. I actually can't remember the name of that song, but I think it's the Real Slim Shady.
I think like, it is.
Like that, when you said before, like he has a lot of integrity, I think you're right. And part of that is whatever his first single of his album was always the worst. And it was always the most blatantly commercial in a way that I actually found kind of refreshing, in that you just knew, he knew, okay, this song has to be the dumbest song on the record. And it has to be, though. And then eventually, I think he seemed to lose that self-awareness. And then every song became that. I don't know how to.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think he just kind of got over it. I think he finally established himself, because it's like, this is his second commercially successful album. So I think he just was like, I got to stick to this formula that's worked for me in the previous one. So I'm going to do it this one. And then he does it the next album. And then it seems to kind of dwindle off to where he doesn't have to have his first single be the silly song.
Even looking at it on the record, right? So you have the public service announcement. You have Kill You. Which, again, I know that song verbatim, and I don't want to.
I know.
Said I can't rap about doing coke no more.
Say I can't rap about no.
And then Stan is right after. It's so weird to where it is. Like, it's track three.
Same. The sequencing of it really threw me off. Like, I knew, but I guess I've forgotten because I hadn't listened to the album in so long. Man, that's pretty early on the album.
And it's like 6 minutes and 44 seconds long. Like, it's, and for so many reasons, it's such a weird piece of art. And again, what I think about it, I think, like you've already mentioned, the storytelling part of it, I find very compelling. The message itself and like what it is trying to convey, I think that's where I always run into it, because there's like, we're going to get into it, right? When this is, like, I'm going to wait till we get to the hook, to drop our Dido stuff. We've announced ourselves as Dido heads.
Yeah. However, I think a thank you. Mm-hmm. God bless you, the 45 King. You got the best part of that song. I don't like that song.
Oh, I feel a little bit rug pulled here.
Well, you good.
I feel like we were both going in on Dido, and now I was going to declare us president and vice president of the Dido fan club.
I will be Secretary of State or whatever. I don't know. I don't know the rankings for political.
Now that's thrown into question. But
but I think that first part is the best part of that song. And then I think the song just starts getting into like kind of like corny. I'm not a huge major scale guy. And just, you know, then I want to thank you for giving me the best day of my life. Not good.
But the day that nothing went wrong or went right. And it was still the best day ever. It's perspective. And then the next verse changes. The next verse stays in the major.
They never come back to Stan. Give me Stan.
Oh, Lord. All right. Let's stick with it. But yeah, what I was going to say is there is some very cool lyricism in this song.
And oh yeah, the rhyme schemes are very good in this.
And like internal rhymes, right, within each line, like there's like tons of cool stuff. But I and maybe it's towards the end of the song I'll come back to like what are we doing? Like what is like the actual
I have some very very major nitpicking on this that might be a little obnoxious, but I'm doing it, guys.
You know what? That's what people tuned in to hear.
That's so right.
What is the, like, see, now I'm like, what do we do here?
I was a little concerned about this. But so the song initiates from the 45 King.
Yeah.
He samples this song. And again, God bless him, he sampled the best part of the song, which is the beginning of it. And somehow this bass line, when it kicks in, it's such a boring bass line.
Boom, 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 boom.
But man, when the beat kicks in, I immediately start sweating.
That's okay. Yeah, and it's also like the soundscape, right? And that's another thing that this record like really seems to excel at. And part of that, I think, is Dre. Like, because when I think of like the Chronic 2000 and stuff too, like all the like skits and the sound production, the sound design that's going on those records is like really cool. Like, it's skipping ahead a bit, but like when it gets to the car crash scene, right? Like, I don't know why, but every time I'm like, that hits weirdly hard. And the gap between when the car and then there's nothing and then it hits the water.
Yeah.
It's such a weirdly cool storytelling moment.
It is. I have a weird nitpick. Here's my first weird nitpick.
Okay.
Why did she stop screaming at that point? She stopped screaming when the car goes over the bridge.
Who? It's all this the sound recorder, right? So he probably drops it or something.
That's a good point. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, the sound recorder picked up the car going into the water.
This is when it starts, and this is where I can actually just already launch into what makes his lyricism so crazy to me. We've always said that great lyricism is like how natural it can feel, right? Yeah. And how like, and something I have always been a little bit like, not my cup of tea with rap is concept songs in rap. Like,
I get you.
Like, and like, I personally don't think storytelling rap is my favorite, because it's not like, I think like a bunch of like college aged like kids from our generation would say, what are you talking about? You know that Immortal Technique song that's supposed to be about the dude?
Exactly what I was thinking of. That's
like
incredible.
Ends up like sexually assaulting his own mother, and everyone's just like, you gotta hear this song. It is crazy. What is it called?
I'm so sorry. Actually, I'll look it up right now. But while I'm looking it up, Colton, I think I was one of those people who was going, you gotta listen to this Immortal Technique.
I mean, we all did. I have an Immortal Technique vinyl.
I love Immortal Technique.
But that song is stupid, man. That's a dumb
Dance with the Devil.
That's Dance with the Devil. Hey, everyone listening, let's all collectively realize. And I listen to that song like everyone else. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. I think when you're doing a storytelling thing, you end up ham-fisting words and rhymes. It makes it feel very hokey, and it becomes a thing where it's like with all songwriting that's trying to like storytell, right? You run into the danger of There's the story and there's the rhyme scheme. There's the flow of the lyrics. It all has to work in sequence or else it gets real hokey, real corny. And it's like, and if you're not in control of it, it can get on top of you. And we've covered songs like Concept Records and the like that have done exactly that.
Yeah, so, the songs definitely got a little bit of the Human Centipede vibe to me, to where I'm like, why? Like, this, some of the twists and turns in that song are just like when he's at the end, he's like, the reason I know this is because I was also there doing this very inappropriate thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, where it's like the shock value is a little too extreme for me.
But this is all to say that when the opening is, "Dear Slim, I wrote you, but you still ain't calling. I left my cell, my pager, and my home phone in the bottom."
By the way, Stan, why are you putting your pager? What the fuck?
Is... We all had pager. I had.
But what is M supposed to put in the?
He would page him.
The number three. But it's like /backward/forward/backward/. Oh so, shit, M's paging me.
I'm looking through the first, like, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The first six lines of this verse, right? Colin, bottom, got him, something, dot him, daughter. Like, it is, it's great. So cool. It's so cool.
And great rhyme scheme.
And I'm not even getting to the third line. I sent two letters back in autumn. You must not have got them.
Got them.
Yeah. There probably was a problem at the post office or something. Like, it's alliteration, right? It's like using those internal rhymes within the lines. It flows like silk. It is. And yet, it is so fluid in storytelling. Like, and it's like you're already getting an established, like, Stan as a character. Like, there's some really cool storytelling stuff going on here.
Yeah, and some that I don't think I really noticed, but the writing sound in the background too, like adds just a little bit more to this story. I'm just like, that's cool. It gives off the, you know, the letters being passed back and forth.
It is a like a radio play vibe that again it could, and I do think at times it does turn out weirdly to too much. Like it gets that way, and yet. As a piece, it is very compelling. I think so. I have to say, I love in this first verse, being aware that this is Eminem. Like, I love that he also just like wants to call out things that he thinks are really cool. I know part of it's like establishing how big of a fan Stan is, that he like knows all these weird things about him, but he's like, I love that stuff he did with Scam and the stuff we did with Ruckus. Like, he's just saying, like, oh yeah, this stuff no one else knows about. It was very good, and I did it.
There are some moments to where the Eminem sneaks out in all of this. He gives away a lot of things about himself. But I do like, even in that, like, I love that shit you did with Ruckus, too. That shit was fat. That's so conversational, because that, like, transition, so far this entire verse is rhyming off of the same general rhyme scheme, the same final word, and that moment transitions, and this is what gives it like that cool like pre-chorus vibe. Anyways, I hope you get this, man. Hit me back, just a chat, truly yours, your biggest fan, this is Stan. Like, that is such a good, I don't think there's a right term, iambic, I don't know what the
iambic pentameter, the meter part of it,
yeah, but just da, like
da, 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 da.
Yeah. Like, to where the way that fucking flows into coming back into the chorus, so good. That is where, this is something I've always had an issue with people who don't like hip hop, don't like rapping. I always go like, no, there's a sincere art to this. The amount of times you'll talk to somebody who's just kind of like, what, they're just talking. No. That's not just words on a page. There is meter to this. There is, you know, what's the word? Cadence, I mean, to this.
Yeah. The amount of effort that has to go into this sounding effortless is it's like, and the amount of skill, right? Like, I don't know how much effort it took for him, because he's very good at it, but I know it's craft, right? And it's skill. And it's like, I think it's easy to hear something like this and mistake it for, like you said, like talking, right? And that's also, we've already mentioned a couple lines where it never loses its conversational tone ever. Like, that's crazy. And like, I'm going to dip back into like the middle of the verse. Like, it's also, Eminem knows what he has to establish in each verse to pay off the third verse, right? He knows he has to establish he has a girlfriend, Stan does, pregnant with a daughter. He has to establish, like, and it's also the idea that in this first letter, this is like a, like, there are no red flags, right, necessarily.
First stand, yeah.
Yeah, there are no, like, it is just, like, establishing him as an empathetic figure that is, like, connecting. Like, we, like, anyone who knew Eminem knew he had an uncle, right? Like, at the time. Like, there are little things, too, where it's, like, it's touching to think, yeah, this is what a relationship with fandom would be like. Right, in a way that feels like best case scenario. So is this maybe because we're in the sec, like the first real hook, right, the first real chorus, right, between verses?
Yeah,
is it weird that it is like this song about Eminem and his fan, this American story, and then you have Matisse gone cold? That's like such a Brit, like the most British line of all time.
And it's... When I first heard this song, I was like, what does this chorus have to do with what's going on? Now, at the back half of the chorus, I get it.
And that's why they chose it, right?
Yeah, that's why Eminem chose it. You know, I'll put your picture on my wall. You know, but yes, the first part of it, yeah, that's... I mean, I get the morning rain clouds up my window. That makes more sense to me because of the background sound.
And for the record, I love that song. That song is really good. I mean, White Flag is better.
White Flag is her best song.
That is superior. But, I mean, I got No Angel for my birthday that year. And I was repping Dido, man. I was like, yes, Dido.
Can I just say, I was reading, you know, some of the critiquing or the articles written about this song.
Uh-huh.
Somebody dropped Team to Dido's lulling thank you with its almost somnambulistically. I hate that journalist. They dropped that word because nobody knows what that is. A somnambulistic or a somnambulist, I'm definitely getting this word wrong, is somebody who sleepwalks. So that was the description of Dido's voice. And I'm like, can you just say vanilla voice? Like, kind of. she had, there is no grit. There is nothing. I don't know why I like Dido's voice. I just do.
We talked about Dido when she showed up on that Caroline Polachek record. Which was, and it's funny because I think that was like our least favorite song on that record. It might have been one of our worst songs. I think
I might have brought up that her voice is kind of dull.
Well, it doesn't work in that, like, that context. Or Grimes, right? It's all bad. Like,
everybody check out the Caroline Polachek episode.
And I own that record now because I do like a lot of songs on that record, and I skip past that one every time. But I don't know. I don't need to start a Justice for Dido campaign here. She's doing fine. I hope she's doing okay. But
I think so. I'm sure this song helped.
The second verse is obviously the escalation part, and it's again. There's so much cool stuff going on. Lyrically.
This is where I get a little nitpicky on the lyrics.
okay, never mind. I'm gonna stop. What? Give me nitpicks.
The dear Slim, you still ain't call a road. I hope you have a chance. I ain't mad. I just think it's fucked up. You don't answer fans. Sounds like you're mad. This is a stupid. But again,
but
this
that's
is
the
Stan.
Point.
This is Stan. He's not the brightest dude. We're already kind of digging into this.
I know the energy that nitpick came from, but that's good characterization, right? Because it is all about how kind of bipolar Stan is and how like the unhinged element of Stan that he's just like, like he's like on Ranger's edge.
But then all of a sudden, he's no longer Eminem's biggest fan, Matthew is. Again,
it's my little brother, man. He's only 6 years old. He went in the blistering cold for you for 4 hours. In the blistering cold for you for 4 hours, and you just said, come on, that's so good.
Really good. It's really good.
And then the rhythmic shift, right? It's pretty shitty, man. You're like his fucking idol. He wants to be just like you, man. He likes you more than I do. I ain't that mad, though. I just don't like being lied to. Remember when we met in Denver? Like, I could keep going because it's the flow, right? The way it, like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, he will never know how to do this again. Like, you remember the record? I can't remember the name of the record. Where he just rapped in an accent the whole time. Like a fake Jamaican accent. What happened to Eminem? Like, what happened to Eminem?
This is tough because I'm like... Most Def does kind of like this Jamaican thing on a song with Busta Rhymes.
I think anyone that's in a room with Busta Rhymes, I would imagine I'd start rapping an accent. Like, you can't, like,
By the way, everybody just go and listen to Do It Now with Most Def and Busta Rhymes. That song is so fucking good.
Yeah, all I can think of is the Busta Rhymes and Janet Jackson track. Gonna make
body work. Also really good. Busta Rhymes is so fucking good.
He's quite good.
But no, I do agree.
Go ahead.
I don't think I have another one on this one. on this verse.
This is where I'll say, this is maybe a good time for me to drop my, like, I know, man. You can't, when you're reading these lyrics, it's hard to not just rap.
Yeah,
them.
I just want to rap them.
This is the biggest thing that came out from this record. If you're unfamiliar, right, when the Marshall Mathers LP came out, it was Eminem's usage of the gay slur, right? The F word that, like,
this
over
is
and
my
over again.
Last nitpick, yeah. On this verse.
And this, and like, that was the thing of the record. I mean, he says other terrible things on this record, right? And like, alongside that is the ongoing debate of, like, Columbine happens, him, yes, and Marilyn Manson, right? Are, and his response to that is like, I mean, it's compelling in that it is, like, I think thoughtful as well as forceful in a way that, I don't know, on the record plays well. This is my, like, I don't even think this is a hot take, but I remember at the time, right, there was a lot of pushback, mm-hmm, like, it's homophobic, this record is homophobic. And then there's, like, the big, like, performance he does with Elton John.
Yes.
Right, where Elton John plays the Dido parts. Mm-hmm. And, like, Elton John comes out in support of him, and I they continue to be friends, and, like, Elton John helps him in his sobriety. Like, there's a whole story there.
Yeah, there is a big backstory to this.
This record is homophobic.
It's freaking homophobic.
This record is straight up homophobic.
Literally the worst lyric in this song.
At the root.
Yes. The worst lyric in this song is "Sincerely yours, Stan. P.S. We should be together too." I'm like, it's literally Eminem giving himself the option to still be homophobic throughout this song. like why? It's, oh, okay. So Stan's gay?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like how to make him scarier and more unhinged. Well, he wants to sleep with me. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Like, that's sometimes, yeah, I even cut myself. Well, that's weird, man. But also, you cut your, or you want to be with me? No, that's weird. That's the weirdest thing about you.
Because he does it. What is it? When he writes the letter back to him, we'll get to there. We'll bring full circle in this homophobic aspect.
It is. And, like, I don't know. Even it's not the song we're talking about, but it's like, homophobic? Nah, you're just heterophobic, staring at my groin, looking at my genitals bulging. Those motherfucking balls, you better let go of them. They belong in my scrotum. You never get hold of them. Like, that is. Why do I know that, number one? And two,
we'd listen to the damn album.
It, of course, we did. A lot. Yes. But straight up homophobia. And when we did our South Park Christmas special thing, right? And, like, I'm also, like, I love South Park. There's never going to be something against me to not like South Park. And yet, I think we both understand, like most people do as you grow up and evolve, that part of growing up and maturing is recognizing what parts of things you loved as a child to keep. And what things to not necessarily throw away or dismiss, but to, like, reflect on, right? And to reflect on, like, the elements of it. I think that's a healthy way of considering those things. And so I'm not going to be like, ah, Marshall Mathers LP, it's trash. It's, you know, like, it doesn't meet my woke ratio, right? And yet, man, this probably made a lot of people feel not great and not safe. That's not cool.
But it's kind of rock and roll. It ain't safe, right? And on the plus side, it does seem like Eminem learned over his, I mean, one of the funniest moments I've ever seen in a movie is when he was, what is it, the interview?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I say all this stuff about my mom because, you know, I had insecurities, and, like, me making fun of gay people, it's because I'm gay, and, like, they all freak out. Like, that moment is incredible, to where I'm like, all right, I'm glad Eminem is kind of taking this approach to it.
Yeah. It's a very lazy / problematic way to dive into the psychology of Stan. Because up until that point, I think it was cool in that it is, by making Stan a parallel to him, right? By making it be like, I never knew my father neither, right? And like, it is like, he is a version of who Eminem could have been, right? That part is like a mirror image of him. That part is, like, really interesting. And looking at Stan now is like a, Like, I'm doing this in real time, thinking about it this way. Like, Stan is actually Eminem, right? And, like, he is the unhinged version of himself that, like, kind of warring with the artistic side of himself.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And then the whole line about we should be, and, like, the fact that it's a PS, like, just thrown in, is it dramatic to say it ruins the song? I don't know.
It is my biggest nitpick on this song. That is the worst moment, because I'm just like, why? And it does feel like it's steering towards what you said. We're like, this album has so much homophobia in it. It's like, why not drop it into this one? Really had no place.
It could have been subtext. Like, I'd be okay, because, like, the line of, like, desire and admiration, like, that's a psychologically mature thing to consider. But no, it's, yeah. Anywho,
The first three opens up so good.
Dear Mister, I'm too good to call or write my fans.
That is such a great fucking opener to it, and Eminem has such a good performance to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there are moments where I'm like, this is just Eminem rapping the way he raps.
This
is a chance at the horrorcore of it all.
But it is, you're right in that it is a performance, and it is very good. Like, this and Kim, right, are the ones where, and by the way, imagine if that song was named Molly. That's another reason I don't like that song. Come on, man.
Oh, man.
That's a rough listen.
I'm sorry.
My sister.
I'm sorry. That's, you know what? You're right. If that song was called Molly and I had heard it so long, bitch, you did me so wrong, I'd be like, that's my sister.
Imagine someone writing a song called Molly and the woman being Molly being painted in a negative light. Although I would argue that's not true. I think the Molly of Molly is a complex person, and that was the idea, that we're all complex and multi-shaded.
It's very true.
No one's,
you didn't write as bad a song. You know what? So if Eminem would have just named it Kim, no one's sister.
No, thank you.
Then we would have been good.
Can I get my nitpick out real quick? Yes. Can I help you with something?
Yeah.
I get the idea that he's unhinged. We already got this the second verse, right? Yeah. Where he's like, I ain't mad. Oh, I am mad, right? That kind of. How do you not recognize that you were never going to get a chance to send out this cassette? Like, how is that? Like,
he's on a thousand downers now. He's drowsy.
Like, I get it, but I'm like, that bothered me when I was in sixth grade. I was like, but he had to have known this wasn't ever going to go out. Come on.
That's an interesting nitpick. I could agree. That these are the things where it's just like, damn, Stan, you are stupid.
Oh, shit. I forgot.
How am I supposed to send this shit out?
I'm like, it would have been funny if, like, right after that, he, like, goes, and then you just, like, hear him, like, driving to the post office. You hear him, like, and he's waiting in line. And they're like, what do you want to send to? He's like, can I get overnight? I need to get overnight. Can I do that? All right. Thank you. That would be the best way to end the verse.
I mean, yeah. I hate the in the air of the night.
It's such an unnecessary, like, inclusion, and that's also like a fault. It's a fake myth.
I don't know how you hear this. This has bothered me since I heard it.
Yeah,
since Stan, the very first time I heard it, I was like, where do you get that story from? In the air of the night.
I think that it existed before. Like, I've heard that before.
Yes, I've heard the rumor, but I don't know how you get that from it. And Phil Collins has already nipped this in. That song's about nothing.
It's about his, like, his divorce or something.
No, he has straight up said, like, it's about nothing. It's just words coming together good.
Man, that's a good song.
Who doesn't?
But also, go ahead.
There was a video game I played to where, like, that was on the, like, kind of the menu, like, when in between, like, levels. It's just like, if that song started playing, I was like, shit. All right, let me set down my controller. I have to hear the drum fill.
Oh, man. And also, I remember even in sixth grade going, what? Like, it is, and, like, part of it, I think, is, like, Eminem flexing, where it's like, I'm going to, like, include this and make it, like, lyrically, like, it smoothly integrated into the verse, and it is thematically, it's a mess. Like, it's like, what is happening? Like, it's American Psycho-esque, I think. Yeah,
I do kind of like the fact that Stan gets the title wrong, because it kind of fits the fact that he's on a thousand downers now. He's drowsy. He drank a fifth of vodka.
And it's
Jeremy to Drive.
Yeah. And like the all the little like Eminem like bits, like even when the girl screaming in the back is like, I didn't slit her throat, right? So it's like Bonnie and Clyde.
And that is just Eminem going like, I've had this lyric for a long time. Because if she suffocates, she'll suffer more, and then she'll die too.
And I have to point this out again. Part of it is the alliteration, right? And Eminem's very good at that. Mm-hmm. But it's like, and if she suffocates, she'll suffer more. Even then, right? Like, there's two things that Eminem managed to do in this song that feel like very much of this era of Eminem, but it's also like part, he was able to make a like dig at the gay community, mm-hmm. and he was able to like write about the murder of a woman, like, or like violence towards women. Yep. He's able to do both. And like, both are like arguably unnecessary to what the song's trying to achieve. And this is, I promise you this, this is not me clutching my pearls at this song afterwards, but it is like, this goes to the heart of what I don't know what the song is doing. It is like what I don't want it to be, and what I'm afraid that it is like this ankle deep, like shock value. Like I think the second verse minus the PS is so good to me, because it is so much like I said, like it gives this opportunity of, this is a mirror image of Eminem that he is like looking at, and like, man, what an unhinged individual, right? There's like such self-awareness. The third verse is the horror core, right, of it all. That, I guess the word I would use is clumsy. Like, even in, like, the murdering of the girlfriend, right? Like, it's like, the horror of, like, what this fan has been driven to. But now I'm like, so what's the idea? Is the idea that this guy is just crazy and he did this crazy thing? That's not an idea. That's not, you know what I mean? Like,
there's a little bit of the Eminem trying, it's the way I am, to like, leave me alone, I'm an artist, but give me my space, to where it's like, dude, you wanted this fame. I'll always kind of have that issue with it, to where I'm like, you show up on TRL all the time, like, you know what you're fucking doing, but it's like, you can't have both sides of this. Like, people are going to be obsessed about you. But that's what I do think is an admirable thing to try to do with this song, is to try to show like, hey, don't be fucking crazy. Just really
is it quick. Didactic? Is it like teaching a lesson to other, like sixth grade Colton going, hey, buddy, don't take this too far?
I think there's a little bit of like, you know, pleasing the mothers against drunk driving on this.
Man, you know, don't think they were pleased.
Oh, they weren't pleased. Okay. It's just wait until the next track. It's going to.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, I don't think that message got out the way he wanted it to.
But yeah, and you know, we could have been together, Slim. Think about it.
And man, even there, that whole section, the rhyming is so gosh darn good.
It is, but it's also kind of crappy to me.
You think
so? It's like, you ruined it now. I hope you can't sleep and you dream about it. And when you dream, I hope you can't sleep.
And you dream like, about it.
But I mean, like, you literally just said, I hope you can't sleep. I hope you can't sleep. You know, I hope you can't sleep and you dream. I hope you dream and you can't sleep.
Part of it, I think, is how he performs it. Like, that's like the actor Eminem coming out. But I think it is also, to me, again, it's just the way he uses the sounds of words against each other. Mm-hmm. Like, and the I hope your conscience eats at you when you can't breathe without them. I don't know. That is.
Now the next line. No.
Slim. Yeah. That also, who, like, they hired like an actress to come in to perform.
I just like to think it's Dido. They're just like, all right, we need you to do some screaming. She is in the video.
I was gonna say, we've gotten to an hour and 35 minutes into this episode, maybe less because of editing, right? But and we haven't mentioned the music video with Day One Sawa, which is that is like the most unhinged performance I've ever seen.
it's over. That's
up until that point, and like, I've watched at that moment, like, I think Final Destination, Idle Hands, right? Like, I was like in for that guy. He's cool. Yeah. He's a cool guy. And I was like, is he
SLC
bad?
Punk is what
I mean, after the fact, I hadn't watched it yet.
Oh, okay.
But after the fact, I was like,
oh, okay. I see. You mean time.
Yeah.
Circa this time frame.
For Colton, yeah. But that was the video where I was like, is he a bad actor? I think he's a bad actor. Because he's quite bad in that. And Dido is pretty good.
Yeah.
His British girlfriend.
Yes. You know what? And I'm glad we didn't talk about the music video, and I'm content with not talking about it any further.
Okay, that's fair. However, the Eminem part is wild.
I will drop one aspect to the music video that trips me out is how much it got censored in the lyrics. Like, especially certain things that got censored. Or I'm like, that seems absurd to have censored certain words.
Didn't they censor "That's my girlfriend screaming in the trunk, but I didn't slit her throat. I just tied her up, say I didn't like you." And yeah, then, like,
those,
then they show it. They actually show her in the trunk.
That's kind of the thing, Dora. I'm just like, what are we doing? Like, it's already being conveyed. Just tell the story. This isn't putting it in a good light, as opposed to most other Eminem songs, where it's kind of a blurred, is this cool or is this wrong?
I mean, not to get too off track, but because I owned the censored version of Marshall Mathers LP.
Of course you did.
From Walmart. Because, like, all my CDs were from Walmart. And listening to the censored version of the Marshall Mathers LP is such a trip. Do they make censored versions anymore? I don't think they do.
They got to.
It's such an art form. And, like, I am, like, such a fan of it because, like, the sounds they would make are just insane. Yeah, and there was a line.
Which works for Eminem. There's a lot of sound effects anyway.
What is it? Like, my name is Slim Shady. Mm-hmm. I am Slim Shady. There's a whole line where he's like, and I actually don't know the whole line.
Oh, you're talking about I'm Back.
I'm Back. That's right. Yeah. Where it's like, I take 10 school shooters, something, stand them all in the line, and the AK-47, the revolver, and the Mag 11 always went and solved the problem of mine, and that's a whole school of bullies all fed up at a time. Like, but it just goes blank. And like, they literally didn't even have a way to censor it.
I'm applauding, by the way.
I know the whole thing. I know all of it. I don't want to know any of it. I know all of it. My wife, for the past 2 weeks, I've just been rapping Eminem because I'm in it and I can't stop myself. And she's just looking at me like, who are you? Who did I marry?
God, I hope I'm there in that convalescent hospital when you got Alzheimer's and the only thing you can remember is just a whole bunch of Eminem lyrics.
Like, we have to put him in another room. He is like,
he's so inappropriate.
Sorry, Puff, but I wouldn't care if she was my own mother. No, the Eminem version, I agree with you in that this is where his response, like, I tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. If they cut the Eminem verse from this verse 4, I think the song is better, right?
It's, I kind of like some aspects to it because I do think that, you know, like, what he says in it. It's kind of a nice moment of just like, I'm joking. This is the silly aspect. And I think there is kind of some importance to this when it comes to all of his albums as a whole. But for the song, I don't think it's, you know, super important, but it does kind of, it's kind of a good bookend to me.
But this is where, on this album too, like at the end of Kill You, right? Where he's like, I'm just playing, ladies. You know I love you. Like, there's like, after what you said in that song, man,
yeah, that's the tough one to come back from.
But I guess that's what I'm trying to say is that's the stuff that feels, no, it's so hard because if you're someone who wasn't around at the time that the Marshall Mathers LP came out, and like the oxygen that Eminem took up in, like, the fact that it was such a successful record, but also the fact that that was what people were so concerned about. That was the controversy of the day, right? And so, like, I can understand. I just don't think it's aged well. Like, those attempts at the time to cover himself up. Like, that's the part of the art that I think shows the cracks. Where we've both said, like, there's an admirability to how steadfast he was to his guns and, like, to what he wanted to convey and, like, what he wanted to play with, what lines he wanted to cross, all those things. And yet, like, the fourth verse to me is him covering his butt. Like, it is, and it's there's a tragic. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I was, like, there's a lot of, like, admit you're wrong, man. like, fucking show some vulnerability here. Like, you weren't accurate on some of your approaches to all this stuff.
But it feels, that's the thing, right? It feels very, there's a tragic irony to it where it's like, he was writing you back. He does care about you. Mm-hmm. He does all these things, da 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 da. But then it's also like, this is where, to me, the song kind of shows itself. It is not about exploring this psychology, and it's not about like exploring Eminem, right? Where like the second verse hints at that in a way I think is really cool. The fourth verse is like, no, this guy's just weird. And yeah, he's gay. Oh my Andy, God.
That's the type of shit that'll make me not want us to meet each other. Damn, Em. Like, why are you dropping this in here?
He has said the quiet part out loud. This is where like the whole controversy of like, is this album homophobic? I'm like, yes.
Right there. He doesn't want to meet his fan because he thinks his fan is gay. This is already happening.
Yeah. I find the fourth verse, and there's stuff in there, of course, right? There's always going to be lines and stuff in it. I'm like, well, he's good. Or he was good. But the last part, I said this to you on our phone call yesterday, but I hate the way the song ends, where he's like, I just want you to do some crazy shit. Like, I saw this one shit on the news a couple weeks ago that made me sick. Some dude was drunk. And then he's slowly tumbling into the realization, come to think about it, his name was, it was you. Damn. Like, I hate it so much. It's just so silly.
I like to believe that he still sent that letter out.
I know. I'm like, okay, well, stop writing, right? Like, you're done. Like, this guy ain't going to read this letter.
Nope. The letter ends with damn.
And there's cool, like, every line and every verse ends with this is Stan. And, like, the last verse is, like, going to end with, come to think about it, his name was, like, right? Like, there's, it's, like, the most kind of melodramatic part of it to me. And it's just, like,
You know what? I can agree with you. I think the fourth verse is probably the worst verse. I didn't know that we were going to rank verses.
I would say 2, 1, 3, 4.
Yeah,
and honestly, anyone who has a different ranking, we just don't. We don't know who you are.
I will say 1 and 3 are like they're right next to each other for me.
1 is good, because it is. It's just not given the chance to be great because it has to be tame.
Yeah,
it's
the gradual. Like this is the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. Although I will say, I think it does have the best lyricism.
At least the flow of the rhyme scheme. I think that's the best part, but this whole song is kind of full of it. And that's really what makes Eminem so good.
Yeah.
He's very, very in control of his rhyme patterns.
I'll just say like the first 6 lines of Stan, like go back and study those, everyone. Like that's the stuff to me. That's like,
should we put it in the Louvre?
You could put it in the Louvre. I do like that. Put it in the Louvre.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of your standard of excellence.
That is, I think
if
those
we put it in the
lines,
Louvre, yeah. All right.
It's so much better than like the clip that goes around of Eminem explaining to, who was it? Like
Orange Porridge?
Yeah, where he's like, I can rhyme a bunch of stuff with orange. I'm like, no, you can't. Like, but that
yes,
is
you
his...
can, but it's like, but, none of them were compelling.
But that's him. That's what he's good at. And I think... this is where we've had I think last episode brought this up too, of like lyricism and hard rhymes, soft rhymes. And I think the Shania Twain episode was another one of this where it's like, it's not that you have to be so like secretive with rhyming. Like it is always contextual, but this is the kind of song where if it was a bunch of hard rhymes, it would feel so stupid.
It'd
because
be
it would
awful.
Seem. Yeah. Right. Like so inauthentic. And so it's not a perfect song, but he set the difficulty bar very high.
I agree. And I think it's a very important song within the hip hop history of it all.
I mean, God, we haven't touched on it, although it was one of my clues for you. But I find the fact that now Stan is like a word in the language. Like, how did that happen? I didn't do any research on how it actually. I think I actually blame Tyler, the Creator, and all of like the Golf Wolfgang, like God feature people. They're the ones who talked up Marshall, like the Slim Shady version of Eminem, and like how good, like they all loved Relapse. Guys, Relapse was a terrible record. You can't love Relapse.
And Second.
But Tyler, the Creator's not a good rapper. He's a great producer. He's not a good rapper.
Good performer.
Yeah, I like Tyler, the Creator. Yeah. But even he knows. He even said one of his own songs, I'm not that good of a rapper, but I try. You do try.
And he's got a very Eminem side to him.
Oh, man. I think do you have any last thoughts before we move to our break in third segment?
You brought up Shania Twain, and she had a new song out, and I almost wanted to torture you.
You wouldn't torture me. I hope I didn't come across as like an anti Shania Twainer.
That's perfectly fine. It's not a good song.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, then, then I can actually say what I really feel, which is no.
So, yeah, bass blown, and we'll see you on the other side with rankings and my hints for the next song.
Let's do this thing. Ooh, my shower head's coming today. Yes.
Oh, that's exciting. I love a good shower head.
This is going to be, man, the water pressure.
This segment's going on a little bit longer, everybody.
Man, the shower's going to be good. It was the same one we had from our previous house. We couldn't bring it over because we couldn't find the old shower heads to put them back to.
Fuck it. Leave them with no shower heads. That's a cheap fix.
This is a nice one. And like, there are a couple things I'm willing to spend a lot of money on. Mattress, shower heads.
Yep.
That's it. I don't actually know what else to spend money on.
I have other ones to add in, but I actually want to keep something a surprise for you in the future, so I won't.
This.
All right. It will not be mentioned this episode.
Okay. Please, phone, please take it away now.
DJ Brood is happy to bring you a proper session of music listening at the beginning of every week on Twitch. With rotating themes showcasing new music, hits of the past, and specific genres, there is most definitely something for everyone to enjoy. Tune in every Monday from 5 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time as he broadcasts nothing but musical goodness live from the comfort of his home to the comfort of yours. Bedroom Radio, where there are no Monday blues, just Monday vibes. What happens when you get a bunch of obsessive music lovers sitting around a table and talking about every aspect in music? You get the Untitled Mixtape. Join Dango, Lewis, and Lorenzo in this educational but enjoyable podcast that encourages everyone to branch out and expand what they listen to. From deep dives to letting you know what is a bop or flop, the Untitled Mixtape boys are sure to take care of your music needs every Wednesday on your favorite podcast platform. The Untitled Mixtape, a Bass Blown Entertainment podcast.
No, please, after you.
Age before beauty. Oh, shit, that's me. Damn it. What did I just do? Welcome back, everybody.
Yeah, look at that. We're too polite.
I'm both older and the more beautiful.
I think that's true.
Oh, no, you're beautiful.
Yeah, good looks, man.
You're a handsome, handsome devil.
You know what? This third segment is just us giving each other compliments.
Let's do it. I need it.
Is this a good time to tell everybody that the excitement building on this podcast is that we're going to get to hang out?
We are going to hang out soon. And sorry, everybody, we're not going to film it. We're going to do zero agenda.
That's right. I don't even know if I want to tell them our plans. I mean, now it just sounds weird if I don't tell them our plans.
Tell them our plans.
We're going to go to a game together.
We're going to go see a game.
The reason I've thought about it is, will this be up? No, I don't actually know when you're coming.
No,
you're just going to show up one day and I'm going to go,
We're about a month and a half from me coming out there.
That's fair. I should know this. I should have it marked on a calendar somewhere. And I think I do.
Yeah. Just everybody watch the A's versus the Giants on the 24th of June.
We'll do some kind of signal during the broadcast.
You're going to hold up a sign that says,
Welcome. That if we could time a welcome on the first pitch of that game so that anyone can hear would go,
there they are.
The fellas. The boys. What are we doing? I'm also just vamping because I don't know what to give this song.
I'm kind of on the same page. I think because the song has it has a historical significance within the music community. I think that is true. But it's not even close to my favorite Eminem song.
That's such a pattern for us. And I know we brought it up before in that, like, just picking one song, like the best song in an artist's discography isn't always the most interesting song to talk about.
I think so.
And at times I find a song like this with big aspirations and a lot of skill and yet also failures, I think that's really interesting too. Like, and I use this word a lot, and I hope I don't overuse it for people, but it's when I use the word compelling, to me that's like art in any aspect. Like, I've watched a movie and not liked it, but thought, you know what, the swing was big, and even the failure itself is compelling to me. Like, that's the kind of stuff I can be into, you know.
Yeah, it's like I've heard for radio or talk radio personalities that it's like you either want to be really good or really bad. You don't want to be the in-between. And I'm like, I like the in-between.
And this is where there's a version of this song, and this is to his credit, and even kind of I'm responding to some of my own criticisms, where if this song was safer and less problematic in some of what he was doing, would it be as good? Like, as memorable, right? Even like, I think there's something to be said about art taking a kind of bravery, and that is not also wanting to excuse, like, I think people should own up to what they do. And I think that, you know, being reflective on, like, there are songs I have written that I have reflected on and thought, man, I can see what I was going for, but I can also see what I was blind to in writing it the way I was. Yeah. And I think that is hopefully something a lot of people do and experience, right? That kind of growth.
But, sure. And on the plus side, it makes the song so multifaceted, because it's like, oh, I didn't even know you could pluck these things from. Like, when I listened to Stan the first time, all I got was a story of, oh, this is a crazy fan. But based off of this conversation, based off of being able to reflect on it for so long, it's like, oh, there's so many other things that we could pick apart. Eminem's homophobia.
The
violence towards women. It's like, there's so many things to dissect. So overall, I think 85 was my, has been my, like, it's a good song, but kind of whatever. I'm going to go an 80. Just because it is a good song. I'm not going to listen to this song again for a long time, I'm pretty sure.
I agree. Like, the only reason I even thought to listen to this song is to talk about it with you. And honestly, I didn't have to listen to it, because it is in my brain. I will know this song for the rest of my life. Like,
yeah, clearly.
20 years from now, I will know this song. Yes. So it's not like it's going anywhere. We're in the ballpark with each other. I was going to say around like a 75. I think it's 75.
There we go.
Yeah.
There you go.
And it's...
What is it? The generally favorable reviews.
Sure. Yeah. And I think it's a good reminder that it's also about not taking works of art to be this like purely monolithic thing where everything has to be like, it has to be perfect. And I only bring this up because I think we're back into the swing of like movies coming out, and a lot of records are going to be coming out where, like, when we hold things, and I'm almost prepping myself up for the Modest Mouse record. I'm excited for it, but I'm also reminding myself it's very, as a public service announcement, Eminem likes these PSAs, everybody.
Yes.
It is very unhealthy to hold art to impossible standards of perfection.
Yes.
It's and also not fun.
It's not fun, but damn it, as much as we are not naive to this, I've put myself in such a vulnerable place, because I'm going like, no, Modest Mouse is going to make a great album. It's going to be good.
But
I could be wrong. But damn it, they are one of those bands that I hold in higher esteem. No, they're not going to drop the ball.
But you think this is like a weird, I don't know what to call this, how to categorize this. We've been talking a lot about relationship of when you're younger listening to bands to older. Do you think there's anything to do with the fact that when we were younger listening to this stuff, like Modest Mouse and Eminem, weirdly, we both came together, that like when I would hear like Lonesome Crowded West, I was like, this is the perfect record. This is like, there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with this record. And then as I get older, I listen to it, I'm like, it's a little shaggy. Like, Trekker's Atlas is insanely long for no reason. Like, it's the most boring part that they stretch. Like, I wonder how much of what I consider to be drop-offs in certain bands' discographies, Eminem included, has to do with them actually dropping off, and some of it is me actually achieving more realistic standards of thinking of art and being more not only just open, but like actually enjoying art with flaws and knowing that every piece of art has flaws, and the ones that don't are ones that aren't trying hard enough. I don't know how else to phrase it. I don't know.
No matter what, releasing art is a state of vulnerability, and there's never, I don't think it's possible to make an undeniably, like what we've said before, there's never going to be 100, right? There's never going to be a 10.
Yeah.
It's impossible. And that's the human aspect to it. And to be fair, AI, you're not going to make 100. You're not going to make a 10.
It's a zero. You're a zero for us, AI.
I just don't think you can be perfect. And that's kind of what art is reflecting upon. It's the human condition.
Yeah, and it's and that is the absolute beautiful thing. I agree. And so I feel like I'm talking myself up to give this a higher score. I'm not. It's a 75. But yeah, but third side of the moon, 90, my guy.
That's 100. Good, that's
100. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Have you been giving me hints?
I have not.
Okay.
No.
I get very paranoid now when your song is coming
out. I didn't even consider doing that this time around.
I think you're better at it than I am. I'm very bad at it. Now, this is the part, if you're a new listener, where I chose Stan for our song spotlight episode. Rob will now give me hints to choose our next song spotlight episode. Good time to remind you all, next episode is our album spotlight episode, and yes, that is my choice of Jagged Little Pill, Alanis Morissette. Do you have any check-ins for us?
I don't like it as much as I thought I did. I'm not saying I dislike it, mm-hmm. but I listened to it one time through and I was, there's some holes. Now, there were also songs that popped up that I was like, oh shit, I forgot all about this song. This song's great.
I had something similar to where the songs I remember loving, I'm like, yep, still hits. And the songs I don't remember as much, I think it's because my tiny brain was like, not as good, don't remember. And now I'm like, oh yeah, not as good.
But before I get my hints,
yeah.
Any disagreements, listener, email us at no.your.writes.podcast@gmail.com.
Are we giving up? It feels like us, like we neither of us are even trying anymore.
I'm giving up a little bit on the email, but we get them every now and then.
I know you're listening. Well, if you're
we afraid, know you're listening.
Here's the thing. I think we have a large group of people from other countries that listen to us. Otherwise, we have bots that one of us set up that aren't telling the other person that we set up. Did you set up a bot?
I promise I didn't set up
a bot. I didn't set up a bot. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know how to do it.
Who?
If I knew how to do it, I would do it.
If you're listening to this right now, and our
Miller,
country...
Miller, did you set up a bot?
Miller.
All right.
The biggest country we have outside the U.S. that listens to us is Vietnam. If you are trying to practice your English, write us an email. We'll have a conversation. And we can
I'm working on mine as well.
Yeah, we can figure it out together.
All right. So this is probably my favorite song titled this. And I apologize to any Beatles fans. I apologize to any Pink Floyd fans. That's a hint. It's not a good hint.
Is it the Bar Lights version of On the Run?
That'd be amazing, but no, it is not.
Okay.
The title of the song, I mean, everybody has one of these. Okay. That's about as far as I've gotten on my hints.
I was going to say, like, saying it's like a Beatles and Pink Floyd title, too. Like, you're not hitting my
strengths. It's not a Beatles title.
Okay.
There's a John Lennon song that has the same title. And it's kind of sacrilegious for me to say that I like this song titled this more than.
Does that mean that this band is. Give me like a time frame of this artist.
This song comes out in 1988. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. Let's see. Here's the thing. I don't know much about this artist. I just know I love this song. Like, all the band members, way too buff to be holding guitars and playing drums. They all look silly as hell to me.
Is it like a heavy?
It's a kind of heavier act. Like, kind of got a little bit of a punk vibe. Let me go with lyrics here. Till you're bleeding.
This seems. Are we doing horrorcore? Is this horrorcore?
This actually, I wonder what they would be classified as. Yeah, there might be a little bit of horrorcore to them.
Cypress Hill.
No. It's. I've already said it's kind of punk or rock.
Cypress Hill's kind of rocky. Okay, I don't know. Fine. I take it back. They're not.
Not about to see your light. Are you typing?
I'm typing. I'm gonna try to go 1988 songs.
It's a big song, and
it was big.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was big radio-wise, but I love this song, and I know a lot of people know this song.
I am bringing up the Billboard year-end Hot 100 singles of 1988.
Oh, I don't know if it's going to...
Number one, Faith by George Michael. Number two, Need You Tonight by NXS. I'm just going to keep going.
I don't think you should. Let's see if I can give you a... God, dude, this is tough.
Guns N' Roses?
No.
Okay.
But if you want to find hell with me, there has to be listeners right now who know what I'm talking about.
Interesting. Okay. I was never going to guess this.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I was never going to guess this. But the only reason I know this is somewhat from The Misfits, but also from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Interesting. Yes.
Danzig is the neighbor, right? So it's Mother, Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Mother by Danzig. Yes.
Mother by Danzig. Mother, tell the children not to roll my way.
Love this song.
I have never heard you talk about this song. I'm fascinated.
This song is... So as of right now, this song is really close to 100.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, this song is that damn good to me.
I'm coming in so... Like, I got nothing.
Green?
Very green. Very I was trying green. To think of the color. I was like, blue? Pink?
Yeah, you're coming in very bleen.
I'm coming very bleen. And glue. I'm glue. And glue. I'm bleen. I'm red. Blue. I'm blonde. That's right. I'm excited. And 1980 is a great year, man. That's maybe the best year ever.
Yeah, 1 year before that, I think, is a little better.
Nah, I think 88's the one.
Yeah. But yeah, we I don't think we really have done a song like this on the pod, so I think it'll be fun.
I'm excited, man. Yeah, is this... I don't know. Yeah, I was gonna. I always get our history wrong. It's like, is this our first like punk? No, I don't think so.
This type of punk, I think so.
Yeah, I think this will be a lot of fun. And not to say, I know we are a couple months away, but you know your guy Colton. I'm all in on Halloween season. This feels Halloween coded. I appreciate you seeing me.
Also. No problem, buddy. But wow. Now do you get the hints? Everybody's got one.
Yeah. Okay. I get it.
Super vague. Super vague. And again, I apologize, everybody. John Lennon's Mother is a wonderful, beautiful song. I think I like this one more. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
I don't apologize to this. I don't make apologies.
Mother by John Lennon is such a great album opener. Oh, fuck it. I'm so sorry. But
Roki Sasaki's finally putting it together. I believe in Roki Sasaki.
Yes. And go Knicks.
Go Spurs. For Pop. Win it for Pop.
No, Pop has been a nightmare for the Lakers. What are we doing? Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
That felt
I just snorted.